Welcome to the Spirit of Life Ministries. Spirit of Life Ministries' aim is to call to the born-again body of believers to manifest the kingdom of God through the teaching and proclamation of the Word of God, as well as the greater good for all humanity. Spirit of Life Foundation is based on Ephesians 4th chapter, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and fullness of Christ, to the edifying of the body of Christ in love. Spirit of Life Ministries' heart is for the restoration of the soul and greater good for all out of love. Please welcome now Sister Beatrice Jackson.
Thank you for joining Spirit of Life Ministries. I'm Sister B. I give honor to the Trinity Godhead, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for an opportunity to minister your word. I don't take it for granted. I ask that you open the hearts of the hearers in the name of Jesus, asking that you give them the grace to hear the heart of the Father and your concern for them in their lives. In the name of Jesus, praise God. And Holy Ghost, I ask that you give me the grace to minister what you have given me. All these things I ask in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it. Amen. Well, praise God. This week, we're going to continue where we've been as far as what the Holy Ghost has had me ministering on lately. This is an eye-opener. He says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And these things that I named, even certain songs, can draw the heart away from the Lord. You know, and I can say this because I know of some born-again believers that profess to have Jesus as Savior. They like listening to worldly music. Even some contemporary gospel songs can draw our heart back into the world. And that word contemporary in itself means occurring or happening at the same time. And the word contemporary gospel refers to music that references God, faith, and salvation, and incorporates the rhythm and instrumentation of secular genres. Are you hearing this? Contemporary gospel songs often are controversial when they first emerge, and their authentic ties to the gospel are frequently in question. So what that's saying, because I have experienced this myself, I wasn't listening to the worldly music once I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But when I would even listen to contemporary gospel, it was like this inner tug of war going on the inside. It actually feels like that, an inner tug of war going on. And another example I can give you is it's like swallowing medicine mixed with drops of poison, and it's like masking itself as something good. And sometimes they maybe mention the name of Jesus. Sometimes. Or maybe it's just sprinkled here and there, once or twice, trying to pass the song off as gospel. Yet, the melody, the music, would make me think about the times when I was on the disco floor. See? And that ought not be. That ought not be. It would make me think of the times when I would be hanging out in the bars on the floor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That does not help my soul. That does not edify my soul. It does not edify or build up the inner man, the new man, which is after Christ. I want to tell you something else too. All these things that I name, these seducing spirits, TV, internet, social media, phone time, and gospel, contemporary gospel songs, they also desensitize our spirit and make us spiritually dull. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Praise God. So this is something that we need to look at. As I was saying, the Lord is calling us back to Him. He's making a clarion call in these last days to the people of God. See, we're supposed to be able to affect the world. Praise God. We're supposed to be light and salt, which I'll get into that in a little bit. But these seducing spirits can hinder our walk and hinder our effectiveness for the world. Praise God. That's it. Let's go back to one of our foundation scriptures. that we were reading from a couple weeks back in the book of the Revelation. And this, of course, is when the Lord is talking to the church at Ephesus, and Jesus is telling us to return to him and do our first works again and to remember from where we've fallen. And I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'm just going to start at verse 5. He says, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand." The King James Version says your candlestick from its place, unless you repent, unless you have a change in mind. Praise God. That's it. Let's go to Matthew 5, starting at verse 13. Jesus is reminding us that the believers are salt and light. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Praise God. So he is saying here that if the salt has lost its flavor, and we do know that salt is a change agent, whatever it comes in contact with, it changes the taste. Salt is also a preservative. We are to be a preservative. Born again believers are supposed to be a preservative for society. We are what helps preserve for society. And even though it looks like it's going awry, we are to be the ones that are holding it in place where it doesn't go all the way off the rails. We are to be an anchor. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. And Jesus reminded us that not only are we good for nothing if we lose our flavor as salt, we will lose the ability to be effective and be that preservative and be that light for society. We'll lose the ability. That's what he's saying here. He also goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Our lives should not be hidden. People should know that we are the light. They should be able to see the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. And our life should be one as light. Our life should not be hidden. People ought not have to guess about our life. If we are saying that we are children of God, if we're born again believers and Jesus is our Lord and Savior, they ought not have to guess. And I do realize, yes, we are under grace and we are not perfect. But yet the Lord holds us responsible, even in his grace, because you do know that the grace of God is not just having unmerited favor. The grace of God is also the ability, the power to live this life of salvation. You do know that. And even though we are under grace and not under our own works of the law, we also have the righteousness of Christ on the inside of us. And the Lord wants us to live like Jesus. He wants us to live his life out through us. He wants to live through us. Praise God. Thank God for his grace. And the wonderful thing about grace is that when we get off track, we repent, we confess our sin, because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, whatever it is that we did, and will give us the grace to get back on track. See, and you know what? I find that when we do that, God has a way of covering our sin, even in front of the world. When we do that, I don't know how he does it, but he's God and he does so. So he says, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand." It's supposed to give light. Like I said, our life should not be hidden and people ought not have to guess about it. It gives light to all who are in the house. That's what he says. And that's what we're supposed to be able to do. We're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to show the way, praise God. The way based on God, not this antichrist society, this anti-God society. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? I do realize that this message is a meaty message. I do realize that. However, God gives the listener ears to hear, and the tenderhearted, those that are open to God and the word of God and want to do things God's way, they can take it in. He will give you the grace to chew on this and to receive it with meekness. He will give you the grace to live out what the word of God is saying. Praise God. He'll give you the grace to walk the life out, walk this life out the way he would have you, and be in right relationship with God. Like I said, it's about fellowship, coming back in alignment with God and our relationship with him. He wants to be in fellowship, you know? Look, I'm married, and you know what? And there are times when my marriage looked different. It's gone through different stages. Whereas, though we were married, we were not in fellowship, okay? Yet we were married. And the Lord, that's the example that the Lord is giving us, you know? We are his bride. We are the bride of Christ. And he wants us to be in fellowship with him, praise God. Let's go to Ephesians 5, starting at verse 14. Because as I mentioned earlier, the seducing spirits that take on different forms can cause us to be desensitized to the Spirit of God on the inside of us and cause us to be spiritually dull or lull us to sleep. Praise God. So Paul goes on to say, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And see, now, if we repent and want to turn away from those things, which is to be arising from the dead, Christ will give us light. Christ will revive us. He will do that. He will rejuvenate us. He goes on to say, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, meaning circumspectly, meaning cautiously, carefully. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that word redeeming the time means taking advantage of the time in our day, making the most of our time, the valuable time that we've been given, making it count, making it to be productive. Living this life of salvation in our walk with the Lord and the things that we do throughout the day. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, and when we understand what the will of the Lord is for our life, we don't act unwise. We don't live unwise because we understand the way we're supposed to live. We understand that we need to live a life that's separated unto God. We don't get caught up into what encompasses us, what we're surrounded by, praise God. We're careful and we pray that we enter not into temptation, praise God. Isn't that right? Well, praise God. Here we are. We're at that time. I do thank you for joining me. And I pray that this message bless you. It's supposed to be an eye opener. It's supposed to be an eye opener, a wake up call, praise God. That's what the Lord let me know. Praise God. This is an eye-opener. Anyway, I do thank you for joining me. This is Spirit of Life Ministries. I'm Sister B, and until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Spirit of Life Ministries, an end-time ministry purposed for revival of the heart toward God, restoration of the soul for the hungry and the lost. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let those that hear say, come. And let them that are athirst come, they that will, let them take the water of life freely. If you would like to contact or be a blessing to the ministry, Spirit of Life Ministries can be reached at 414-249-5121. Until next time, thank you and God bless you.